As a Zoom,
Hi.
I'm took my lunch break to podcast with you, so you're welcome that
Thank you. It's Ruby's birthday today.
I love you. How old is she? Four?
She's three.
Okay, I was close. Happy birthday, Ruby. Did she get a like a birthday treat or anything?
I got her a pup cup on our walk this morning.
From Starbs.
No, I actually just made one at home because mom was on a budget, but I did a good one.
Hey, good for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, although sometimes Starbucks doesn't make you pay if you're just getting a
Well,
pup
yeah, and it's also just like we have like the canned whipped cream here, and I never give her treats because I'm a bad person and a bad owner. And
That's not
then
true.
I just forget all the time. And then I ended up just, I had a can of whipped cream, so I gave her a pup cup this morning, and I'll probably give her some, a little peanut butter treat, a little action. I hide some of her
Oh.
toys sometimes. Because if I pull them out, she thinks they're new and she gets really excited. And there's one that I
At
hide
the end of
because
the day, mama's on a budget, like you said.
literally, and she makes a really big mess with one of them because it's like a rope toy, but she loves it to chew it up. And I always take it away because she chews it up. So I'll probably take it out and
That is really cute. Does
let her play with
she
it.
do like the Benny Bone at all? I know that's really popular for like Frenchies.
What's that?
Have you heard of that before? I'll send it to you. Like
Okay.
I'll send you a link to look at it. But maybe that's just for smaller dogs, but like it's like a chew toy kind of. But dogs seem to be obsessed with them. But I've only ever seen like
Oh.
I my Miles' dad has a Frenchie and has a Benny Bone, and then Aaron and Elizabeth have a Frenchie and they have a Benny Bone. So I'm like, maybe it's just a Frenchie.
A Betty
I don't
Bone?
know.
I've never heard of a Betty Bone before. Benny.
Benny. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I'm gonna Google it really quick.
They look, I mean, it just looks like a wishbone, kind of. It's just like a bigger one.
Never heard of this before. No, she has. Oh, those things. Yeah, I know
Yeah.
what you're talking about. Yeah, she does have one,
Dogs seem to
actually.
love them. I don't know what it is, but they're like
Well, they
crack
can chew
cocaine.
on them. They can chew on them.
Exactly.
There's one toy that she has that I don't let her have because it like cuts her gums because she like chews on it so much and it's really rough. And I don't like that one. But the Benny Bones ones, whatever, are pretty good. So
Well, live, laugh, love it.
live,
How tell
laugh, love it.
catch me up on your equity stuff.
Yeah, I had an audition today that ended with the man saying thanks, which is the actor's equivalent to get the fuck out of my office.
Although you never know, you never know.
yeah, but usually they're like bye.
Well, that's
but
because
I
they have to
mean,
see 700 people after you know,
yeah, and the
or have
nice
already
part
seen
is,
700.
well, the nice part is too is I'm in such this like cool place as as an actor that like I have no reputation. I have nothing to my name right now, so that I can go into every audition that I have doing whatever the fuck I want to do. And I can go into shows that I'm not right for. I can go into shows and just get my face in front of people.
For
This one
sure.
was for the Fireside in Wisconsin, but I probably would work with them in the future, but like just not on this show. And so
What is the
being able to
show?
get it's Grumpy Old Men, the
Oh,
musical.
yeah.
So
You had
like
mentioned that back in
I'm
the like
really
a couple weeks
not
ago.
super right for that show unless I was the son. And they wanted a strong singer, and I'm a strong singer, and that was really the description. So I walked in, and all these other people were getting like sides, coming back for callbacks, all these things. I walked in, I didn't get anything, but I walked in and sang my fucking face off with Hopelessly Devoted to You. And I walked out, and the lady sitting at the front was like, "Did you just sing Hopelessly Devoted to You?" And I was like, "Yeah." She was like, "That's fucking badass, man." She's like, "I loved that. That was so good." And so I was like, "Thank you."
Oh,
And so it
that's
was
good
just like,
feedback.
and I was talking to her and I was like, "Yeah, like I just like I'm fresh joining Equity like a couple weeks ago and all these things." I was like, "I'm just really in this place as an actor right now that I can just say fuck it and do what I want." And she's like, "It's such a great place to be. Like just being able to go in and experiment with everything." And so that's kind of what I've just been doing over the last couple weeks. Colin and I are going to Boston next week.
Oh, cool. Wait for his conference, right?
Yeah, for like a
Okay,
work
yeah,
thing.
you
And
told me.
so I'm gonna try to find some auditions in Boston too,
Oh,
if
yeah,
there
why
are
not?
any, and just
I
dip
bet
my
there
toe in
are.
that market too. I'm sure there will be.
Even if
There's
not for like
nothing.
Boston shows, that at least
Yeah.
for some, you know, something. Maybe people
Well,
that are
and
there
even
doing
right now,
auditions.
it's like I'm technically out of commission until after the wedding because why would I put myself through that? So I'm really just kind of going to these auditions for experience because people need to realize too is that I
But also
haven't been in.
they're doing stuff for after that too. You know, it's like, right, you know, right. You could be auditioning for something that's not until next summer, you know?
That and the fact that, like, I haven't been in a face-to-face audition room for a long time. And mm-hmm. I think that people don't necessarily realize that if they're not an actor, is that everything went virtual mm-hmm. for years. And now it's like,
and still kind of is.
And still kind of is, but with equity, yeah. they've required it to be back in person because actors want to make sure they're going to be seen because they aren't watching your video. They're getting thousands of video submissions a day. Mm-hmm. And so at least this way we can connect, we can network, we can do all these things in
person. You can ensure that you
But a lot of actors are still like getting back into the swing of things of being in person because for sure. we've been out it's of it for type. So long. And you can't, I yep. can't redo my shit if I crack like I did the other day. If you watched my TikTok, I was mm-hmm. I cracked on a low note. I cracked on a note that I had sang 5 times in a row and it was the 5th one I cracked on. And then my high note sailed and they cut me off and they were like, thank you. And I was like, fuck you.
But that's why, I mean, I'm sure that's why they're pushing for it too, is mm-hmm. also like, they are getting the true raw version of your voice and your acting in the moment and not something that you can edit and
rehearse 5 times in a row. And exactly. you know how many times I stand here and I do 5 video auditions and I just like the 5th one's the best take. And you know,
and
there's
use
this
it.
One of and
Which
one
is,
of
you
my
should. Yeah. You should. If you have that an option to do a submission, it's great, but this way of doing auditions allows a director to be like, okay, how are they actually going to be like when I'm working with them?
Well, yeah, and it doesn't
in
even
rehearsal.
Matter, and it doesn't matter if you crack or not in your audition, because they're looking more for how do you recover from that, how
for
do
sure.
you very loudly crack and just keep going and act as if nothing happened. Or do you make it funny? Like, dependent on what you're doing, there's a whole realm of things you can do. And like, I was already, the other day when I cracked, though, I was already having a really frustrating day. And so I was just like, nah, I don't care anymore. And my high note soared. Like, my high note was like the best it's ever sounded. And so, because I was just like, fuck this. Like, I'm just going to hit it now because I can. And like, you know, I'm using this as a time to experiment with some gender bent songs and
that
is really where Broadway's heading now, and I want to be rememberable in a room, and if I sing Hopelessly Devoted to You, no other guy's gonna do that, and so I can just do it and whatever happens happens
and
like,
see what happens
really
exactly yeah. No, I love that,
it's fun.
I love it. Updates for me, I think I may have mentioned this, I can't remember, but Miles and I are going to be moving in together. So I don't know if I mentioned that on the, did I mention that on the podcast?
You mentioned it. You kind of mentioned it last week that you were looking for places together or like thinking about it.
We are kind of getting a little bit more serious.
Do you know like when though, or like when your lease is up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my lease is up in, so the next part is that our leases kind of are all around the same time. So my lease ends on the 31st of July and then his lease ends like later or something like that. So like a month later.
Sure.
So like end of August, he'll be looking for a spot. His roommates want to renew, so it might actually work for us to like move out before my lease is up and like move in for like a June or July type place so that we get situated and then he can find somebody to sublease for the last 2 months of his lease.
You have to stay through Pride weekend because of my bachelor party.
Oh, I forgot about that. I mean, we could, I mean, I, if we, we could just post somewhere else too.
Yeah.
But we're like, we're going to look for like June or July places. So that's exciting. We're kind of open to all sorts of different neighborhoods in Chicago, but we're starting to do like collect furniture. So I'm picking up a couch on Friday. We have a TV stand getting delivered.
That's the way to do it
tomorrow.
Though. You got to do it slowly because like that's what we're doing with the wedding is like I have that box of shit that you saw at Christmas that is like filled with flowers and stuff that we have sent out here. And then every time Colin gets paid, we're buying
buying
a chunk of things from Amazon. Our apartment's going to be messy. Our apartment's going to be cluttery, but I don't care. It's just going to be what it is. And we'll just line them in the living room against the wall.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
call it a day. Something too that I want to,
because then you can see that you're like making progress. You're like, oh
yeah,
we
exactly.
Are doing stuff for the wedding. Like we are,
and
getting
I can slowly start like making the centerpieces I want and experiment and like make something and be like, ooh, I don't actually like that idea I was originally thinking. I'm going to go back and redo it. And then that way the chaos that will be that week won't be crazy. But something too I want to update listeners on is Shimmer, a new musical podcast. It's X-I-M-E-R. It's Remix spelled backwards. It launches on Wednesday, so tomorrow as you're listening to this. It's something I've worked really hard on. It's a mixture of music theater, and podcasting, and really my worlds are all colliding, and I'm really proud of myself. So
I know it's
please.
Very well done. It's very well done.
Thank
I've
you.
I've gotten some teasers. I've listened to some things. It's going to be really good. So take a peek. And it's one of Kale's 10,000 podcasts that he's a part of. So.
Yeah, and there is a trailer teaser that's up now on Apple, Spotify, on anything. It's XIMER. If you search that,
Wait, can you put it in any podcasting platform,
it'll come up.
Why don't you put it in this episode so that people
can hear I'll put the trailer as like a little ad in this episode if you guys
please
want to listen.
Do.
And I'll put a link to it in the description of the episode.
For sure.
But yeah, take a listen. I'm really proud of it. It's really exciting. It's going to be a 12 episode series for season one. There's possibly talk of a season two. I don't know. But yeah, it's really fun. I've worked really hard on it and I'm really proud of it. So
yay, good job, Kale.
Shimmer is a life force, choosing the next from their pain. But this time is different. You'll find deep down in your soul the shimmer within you, bringing us to your side. The shimmer brought you to us. You are here for a reason. Those reasons will be explained in due time, so make sure you stick around. We promise it'll be worth it. Shimmer is a brand new musical that made its world premiere off-Broadway in October of 2022. It ran for 2 weeks in the John Cullum Theater right here in New York City. After the production, we decided that this story cannot and will not go away. I am here to make sure that doesn't happen. Hi everyone, my name is Kale Rausch. I'm an actor and podcast host located in New York City. I recently had the privilege to be a part of an incredible project, Shimmer the Musical. Shimmer is a new electronic dance music musical that tackles a storyline that we tend to steer away from, gay hate. But where there is hate, there is love. When there is darkness, light will follow. And when there is bigoted, ignorant crime, there will be justice. Over the next 12 episodes, I will be taking you on a deep dive into the creation of this production. I sit down with the actors, creators, and producers of this show to give you an exclusive look into the hard work that goes into the creation of an off-Broadway production, but also giving you firsthand accounts from people who were there. Let's explore the Shimmer together. Without further ado, welcome to Shimmer, a new musical podcast.
Today's topic, we're going to kind of transition into it after that, since we did our little catch-up and... We boosted each other's egos for a sec. Our podcast today is about OnlyFans, which we talked about. We had an episode on Gay for Pay, and I think we chatted about OnlyFans a little bit. We talked about OnlyFans in the past, but like not even necessarily that platform, but sort of making an extra income by selling sex. So not necessarily like having sex with other people, but creating content that is like exclusively of yourself sexually. Yeah. So that can be done in a whole different slew of ways. That can be done solo with your partner, with anyone else that you agree to consensually. So it's interesting. I kind of want to start because I'm like, working from my office today and it's like, I'm in obviously a private room, but it's kind of interesting to think about, how would this affect somebody's professional career if they decide to do a side gig, like something like that, which personally I see nothing wrong with. I think most of the world now kind of looks at it and is like, oh, cool. That's like a very legitimate way to get an income. And it is. There's ways to do it safely and professionally and consensually that are not harmful to anyone involved or watching. Mm-hmm. But kind of curious, Kale, like what you think as somebody that's working professionally, like myself, and was curious if that's something that we that I could ever do. Like, I
Sure.
suppose I'd have to check with my like personal HR, but I work at a really large company. So it's like, is something like that even possible? And if so, like how and why? And why do people do it? And why do people want to
Yeah.
do it?
I mean, obviously everyone knows listening that I have an OnlyFans and that Colin and I do post on
Content.
there pretty
Yeah.
regularly.
But
Part of that
you don't show your
started
faces yet, do you?
on OnlyFans, we do.
But not on
On
like
Twitter, we
Twitter.
don't. And so that's kind of where Colin and
Draw
I
the
really talked
line.
about where the line was, because at least this way, Colin wouldn't lose his job because they would have to fully subscribe to even prove that it's him.
For sure.
And he's got some tattoos, but they're not like unique tat like they are, but not they're not seen very much.
For sure.
And
At least seen at work.
right. And, yeah, especially at work, really at all. I mean, just the one on his arm is seen. But I mean, for me as an actor, it's probably not going to interfere with my career unless I was
I
like
wouldn't
auditioning for
think
a
so.
children's show. But I lock my main Twitter, which is where I promote it, like for people to either get onto OnlyFans or get onto my alt Twitter is on my main Twitter, which I have locked down. So in order for people to see it, they'd have to request to follow me, whatever. The alt Twitter, even if it is, you can't necessarily prove that it's me. I don't have any tattoos, so you can't really tell. It just is what it is. Which we have over 1,000 followers on our alt Twitter now, which is fun.
Oh, that is fun.
And yeah, I mean, we've done it in a way that the only person whose career it would affect is that. However, where Colin's working now, his manager is a burlesque dancer. So I don't see that it would ever
Being an
be an
issue.
issue. The only way I think it would be an issue later down the road is when he wants to pursue a professor contract at NYU. However, we have not talked about what the future of our OnlyFans looks like. And of the two of us, I post on there a lot more. I do a lot of solo stuff, but I'm also home alone a lot. So it's one of those things where it's like, full disclosure, I'm doing it already. So I might as well film it and have some fun doing it and post it and let people see what they feel.
And pay for it.
But and pay for it. I mean, yeah, and we do private things. We've sold our underwear before. People tipped us for that. People will tip us for a private video, but it's not, I mean, I'm not making
Bank.
much. I'm not making much off of it. I mean, I think we have 70 subscribers right now, which is
More than some, I
probably.
mean, you were able to pay rent with it though once, weren't you?
No, I've been using it to pay my credit card. I just
Oh, sure.
take it out and we'll just throw
Hey.
everything that comes out of it on my credit card and
That's
just see how
honestly
low I can get
smart.
it.
It's a
But I
good like
mean,
supplementary income.
yeah, it's not reliable in any
No,
sense for me. I mean, there are people like we had Jonah on who makes all of their income doing that. On
Well,
multiple
that and
across
other,
and across multiple platforms. And yeah, so it's definitely a lucrative business. The only issue is now everyone has an OnlyFans. So it's like, how are you going to be different than other people? And
Yeah,
how
I
are
think you
you
have
going
to
to do
kind
it
of
that
tap into
way?
your like niche and
And
see like what
I
type of
wonder how it
audience.
would be for someone like you in corporate America, because I just don't know. I don't know
I
what that
truly
entails.
think at the end of the day, I don't think it would be possible because
Aren't
if
you
I'm,
close with your manager, though?
I mean, I just got promoted to a new team, so I wouldn't say like
Oh, okay.
close. We're friendly. I do really get on with her, but like definitely the way that it works in corporate America is it's like you want to have a business relationship with your manager. It's more professional to have like
Sure.
a distant respect and like I'm gonna try to not like blend our personal lives as
Sure.
much. And it's just like
Sure.
as I'm climbing the corporate ladder, the way that it works differently is my line of work is so different than your line of work.
Oh,
And the way
absolutely.
that corporate America functions is so different, and it's you have to be the most professional version of yourself. And so as I continue to climb the ladder, I'm realizing the things that I was doing when I was in an entry level position are not going to be acceptable now that I'm like
Well, and
old.
see, that's such an interesting thing because in my line of work, yes, they want you to be professional, but by their means of professional, they want you, you know, with, it's like within the rehearsal room with on stage. Mm-hmm. But they also want you to be likable because mm-hmm. they want people to come to their show because of you. They
for
want
sure. Oh, yeah, yeah,
you,
yeah.
They want to see you in interviews.
Like they want you
laughing and talking and being your genuine self, which is why sure. I feel that I thrive in this LOL as I speak that like, I haven't worked in a while, but I feel that I thrive in this business more so because I can be the most genuine self like that yeah. I am because I oh, do yeah, think yeah. I'm a kind person. I do yeah, think
for,
I'm
no
a
doubt,
genuine
for sure.
person. And I yeah. do feel that I can put my best foot forward in the way well, that
I'm,
Broadway
I'm
is heading
you
now.
Feel those things, Kale. I'm glad you feel those things about yourself.
I should have sent it to you, I just watched a video of Trixie like roasting Katya for like 5 minutes, and it was just like she was like, oh, I've been a fashion icon for the last like 32 years, and like Trixie's like, when are those 32 years gonna start, you know? And just like you said that, that's just what it reminded me of. But that's the way like the business is headed in that realm of like in that world that people just want, like, look at Stephanie J. Block. So fucking talented. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the most genuine, nicest people ever, but has never, like, deterred away from herself since she's been in the public eye on Broadway. Like, mm-hmm. she is so funny. She is so kind. She loves, interacting with people and her fans, but she's also, like, gonna tell you her opinion about things, and like that's really what we're seeing in the, you know, the Broadway diva who kind of, you know, Patti LuPone who paved the way for people to mm-hmm. do that. But it's still like there's a really famous actor in New York who has been on and off Broadway for years and years and years, who like has a fetish of like peeing on himself in public spaces. And he like has a whole Twitter page where he does that, and he still works on Broadway, like
who is
all
it?
The time. I don't know their name, but I've seen the pages.
That is so interesting. Good for them. Mm-hmm. See, that's just the big difference is that like there are similarities and differences between corporate America and Broadway. The similarities being that they like people to be likable as well. In order to move up in the company, just like in order to make a name for yourself in Broadway, you have to be likable. Your true and authentic self is what the like corporate terms are. They're like, they want you to be your full and authentic self, but they want you to have a professional spin on it. So you're able to voice your opinions in a professional way. You're able to have an argument in a professional way. You're able to present your personal life in a professional way. You don't want to overshare your personal life. You don't want to undershare your personal life.
Yeah.
You want to be able to have two separate baskets to have a good work-life balance.
And that's where I don't think I would be able to work there because I am an extreme oversharer.
That's been my struggle too. And that was part of the reason that I didn't get one of the jobs that I applied for internally, mm-hmm. promotion-wise.
We've talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, because I was being my full self, but not mm-hmm. understanding that in the professional corporate setting, I have to be really careful about what
I say.
And
I wonder, I've been really struggling with finding a job recently, and I had a job interview on Friday, and I was chatting mm-hmm. with them, and I thought it was going really, really well. Mm-hmm. And they asked, you know, why are you searching for a job right now? And I said, well, in all honesty, I need money. I'm getting married soon, and I'm, you know, I need money. And I said, and they asked why I hadn't worked in however long. And I said, oh, you know, I'm an actor. I booked 3 shows back to back to back, and I just simply couldn't be in 5 places at one mm-hmm. time. And so I had to quit my job because I obviously am going to take the acting jobs. And they were talking, it was a serving position. Mm-hmm. At a restaurant that you have been to that you know that we talked about at mm-hmm. Christmas mm-hmm. that I have emailed repeatedly.
Yep.
And they said, well, I can tell you why you're not getting hired places. It's because you're an actor and people don't want to put the time and effort into training you to have you leave. And I said, and maybe this was where I put my foot in my mouth, because I said, I hear you. But every place in the city hires actors to be their servers because they're probably one of the only people that will do the job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that was probably where I put my foot in my mouth. But
that's when they said no, for sure.
They said, the lady did say, I actually really appreciate your honesty. And that's a really good point. Because in all honesty, like that's the truth.
That's what they said to me in my interview, though, when I was a little bit stepping out of line and I didn't get the job. So they gave me that feedback. The best thing that I can say is that feedback is actually a huge gift. So
Oh,
that's what my
absolutely.
previous manager taught me. Like the if you can get professional feedback like that, you know, it's different, right? Where I'm like working in the corporate space, you were applying for a job, still kind of rings true. If you can take that feedback that you're getting, whether it's from an interview, whatever, if you can view it through the lens and if you can understand, like, oh, this is actually for my betterment, then you can take it and receive it, right?
Yeah.
If it's actually to like tear you down and make you like feel bad about yourself, then
Sure.
don't receive it. That criticism that they gave back though was actually legitimate feedback and out of a good place. So if
Yeah,
you're
and I
able to just
remember when you got that back.
decipher, yeah.
Yeah. When you
If
got
you're
that
able
back,
to the
you were so happy to like have an answer.
yes. Yes, I
Yeah.
was. And to also get feedback that I was like, okay, you know, I need to work better at my professional career. Like I need to work better. You know, I love who I present myself outside of work and I'm never going to
Yeah.
change that. I'm always going to be myself. But at work, when I'm getting paid, I need to rein that in a little bit and make sure that I'm putting the best Avery forward professionally, which is not going to be the same Avery that you're getting when we're out for dinner and happy hour, Kale. Like that's just not,
Yeah.
that just doesn't work in corporate America. So
Right.
like if you can take something like that, if you can take that feedback and maybe you withhold a little bit more, and that's not lying, that's not being dishonest, but now you know how you can interview in a way that's more appealing to people in the New York City area for serving
Yeah.
jobs or bartending or
Well, and even
barista
like
jobs. Like,
feedback even in is so important as an actor too. And
yeah.
if not, like, I mean, talk about a field that you don't get much feedback in. I mean, you go into a room and you leave the room and you never see those people again. And I mean, obviously, the more you audition, the more you will run into the same people. I've already
Right.
seen the same three people at like three different auditions I've been to.
For
But
sure.
you to take an opportunity to just get some feedback, even if I was super close of getting a job, like sometimes it just simply comes down to like, well, you have blue eyes, and I'd rather have an actor that has brown eyes, or you are too tall,
And
or you
that's
know
fine.
what?
And
You're a
that's
little bit
fine.
bigger for this role than we intended, and we would like someone thinner. And it just simply happens. It sucks, but it happens. But there are little nuggets of information that they're like, you know what? You came in real heavy into this like audition. You know, you came in really, really pumped to be here, and it was a little jarring, or you were just low energy in the room, or I didn't feel that you were connected to your pieces at all. And all of those things are so helpful when auditioning, but I've been out of the job interview game for a while too. And so it's like I'm just going in the same way I go into auditions, and that doesn't always work. And so it's such a different realm of things. And
Yeah.
circling that back to OnlyFans, I'm sure that they've run, you know, they've Googled me and maybe they've found it. And that is what it is. Maybe that's deterred me from getting a job or not, but
It's possible.
I,
I mean, you would
it's
never
possible, but I
know
don't
without getting that
mind
feedback. But you can also ask too. This is a good segue back to our topic too. You can always ask for feedback. If they don't give you anything after a job interview, after a performance review or whatever, you can always ask like, hey, what could I do better? Like, thank you so much for taking the time. I understand that, you know, I'm not right, or, you know, it's just not good timing, or, you know, I don't have the hours that you're looking for, whatever it is. What could I do better? You know, or how could I, you know, do you have any feedback regarding my interview that I can use for just moving forward in the career? And that's kind of like what my mindset is too. I'm like, I know ultimately, like doing something like an OnlyFans or whatever would be really detrimental to my career in the long run. So it's
Sure.
nothing that I could probably be involved in too long, just because of the way that my career is heading. And it's like, I do want to climb the corporate ladder, and you do have to make those sacrifices, and you have to have those clear boundaries. And I just
I mean,
know that,
we
like,
started ours when Colin lost his job, and so
right.
we had had it as a temporary income. And
Right.
at the time, I had 25,000 followers on TikTok. Well,
Right. So
you know,
you
fast
had some
forward, I,
sources. Yeah, you used what
right.
you have. Yeah.
Right. And I don't have that anymore because I've people haven't listened to our previous episodes. I got banned from TikTok and I now have under 3,000 followers, and it's
Yeah, it
really
takes time to build
frustrating.
that up again. It takes a
And
lot
it
of
is
time.
what it is. It's just frustrating. But you know, we've lost our OnlyFans. You know, at one point we had 150 followers and we were really active on it. And, you know, people will buy for 1 month and they don't want to renew. That's fine. But
yeah,
what has helped me, and the only reason we haven't gotten rid of it, is A, I'm using it to pay off my credit card. That's nice. But it's helping me with my body positivity.
Oh,
it's
for
helping
sure.
me being able to post photos of myself that I would never post on social media, even if it's just a shirtless photo of me, and getting the direct messages, not even sexual, but getting messages where people say, I think you are beautiful, or you know, I get a couple that are
good.
Like,
you look good. Yeah.
I get a couple that are people like, I'd let you fuck me hard. And you know what? That still makes me feel good, obviously. And so we're all, you know, we're searching for that dopamine hit, you know, every time someone likes my video.
The validity.
Right. But it's also my way of being able to show my body in a judgment-free zone and no one making negative comments about it, because they're all there for that reason. Yeah. And that's been a beautiful thing for me that I don't know if I could get rid of that right now, because I've been in, maybe, and we can talk about this, I'm more than open of talking about it, but I'm in a really deep point of depression right now. And that's something that I've talked with you about a little bit. But I've been really struggling over the last 2 months. I've been really in a dark place. And so it's been my way of being able to feel better about myself.
Yeah.
And I know that, and if many people learned that I know, like from my past, found out about it, they'd be like, oh my God, like that's so disgusting. Like, how could you do that? But I don't care, because it makes me feel good at the end of the day, and it's helpful. And I can have conversations with people. I can have people come in and, you know, ask me what kind of underwear I wear. And like, they say that it looks really good on me, and like, they make me feel good about myself. And I don't think that I should get rid of that to go work at a serving. You know what I mean? Like, because you have to search hard to find it, because my name is not on it at all. My face is not in our profile photos. Like, you have to fully subscribe to the profile in order to see my actual face in it. And we've been really, really careful on Twitter, editing our faces out and making sure that our faces wouldn't be in it. And that's something that's been very beneficial. But I feel, though, Avery, if you have a close enough relationship with anybody in your company, you could ask the question. You could ask HR and just say, like, hey, listen, you know, we've been thinking about this. Would this be something that would hurt my career here? Like, I'm just a genuine question. But I mean, I don't see how that would be any different than this podcast, in all honesty.
I would have to. I just don't think I want to do it enough. Honestly, I don't want
to. I know you had talked about it. You asked me about it once.
Yeah.
And that you had questions. And
we are interested. We are like interested in like toying around with the idea, but again, I think it would be detrimental. And like, let me make something clear. Like, I'm very pro sex work. I'm very pro like OnlyFans making a living. I think it's very legitimate and safe. And as long as you're doing it legitimately and safely, I think it's a very, very valid way to make an extra income, a side income, or a full-time income. I'm not like, but just the way that our world works right now, it's just not ready to merge those two worlds and say, let's give our stamp of approval on this. And as somebody that has to be I just have to be cognizant with where my career is going.
Well, and we're in very different fields. Whereas in my field, they would be like, well, how many followers do you have on there? Can you promote our show? And like, it would get people to go. And that's the main difference. I've been in rooms where they ask how many followers you have on social media. I've been in those situations because they want to
know. It's going
to
bring in
they
money.
They want to see how many people they can get in. And if I had, you know, 500 subscribers to my OnlyFans, that's 500 seats, like butts in their seats that they want at their show. And that's, you know, it's just a very different realm of things. I think Colin and I possibly shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit. We could have a lot more subscribers if we collabed with other people, but Colin and I are not at a point in our relationship, or I don't know
ready
if we
to
ever
do
will
that
be,
or comfortable.
Where we ever will. We've chatted with Jonah about it before. We talked with Jonah about it, and Jonah was like, hell yeah, let's do it. But I don't know if we ever would. And so, you know, that definitely probably hurts us.
And
but we're not
that's for
doing
you to decide
for,
and nobody else
right,
to decide.
Right. And but we're not that's doing such an it independent... in that realm of things.
Yeah.
And I don't edit the videos. I really just like, we just have one angle. Like you could obviously work a lot harder at it, but it's not something that we're necessarily doing as a main.
Well, and obviously right now, based on this conversation, it's just not a priority for you.
Right. Yeah.
And
no,
so
it's not.
I think you, if you have the time and the capacity, it really can become your full-time job, but it's not. And so right now,
I mean, if we paid somebody to
Colin's career,
if we paid somebody to come in and film us doing it and all these different things, it would be different. If we had someone editing all of our videos, that would be different. And there are people that do that. There are many, many OnlyFans creators that have people that film for them. And that's totally legitimate, too.
Yep.
But, you know, it's just is what it is.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm curious if other people that are listening have, whether, like, you know, paid subscriptions for other things, even if it's like Patreon or something like that, or, you know, just these different services, like, let us know, shoot us a DM on Instagram or, you know, send us an email, just like sharing about your experience too. And we'd love to hear your voice kind of contributed to this conversation.
Yeah. And I really want more OnlyFans creators to come on this podcast, and I've reached out to a couple like via Twitter and different things like that. I haven't heard back from anybody, but I want to keep reaching out to people because it is, I want to talk to somebody like Jonah again, who makes their living off of it completely. And I'm just, it's a realm of things that we don't talk about enough as society. And it's this whole idea that like, well, you know, I can just work from home and I can do what I'm already doing and I like doing it, so I'm just going to keep doing it and make money off of it. And that's exactly what, you know, we live in a society, our generation is very much like, well, find money in every way that you can. Like, I don't care how you make your money, as long as you are safe and you are okay and you like what you're doing, go for it. And that's really been like nailed into our brains on that. So I don't know. I think it's a legitimate career. I think that
I do too.
There are a lot of people, like a lot, like a lot of things. I mean, people, there are like professional entertainers at, you know, exotic dance clubs that make their entire living off go-go dancing, or in a, that flash dancers down on Times Square, pole dancing and different things like that. Like those are all, let me tell you, when I worked at Doll in La Crosse at the, car dealership. This woman was a dancer at the Gentleman's Club up in Sparta, I think it was, or Toma, wherever the
I think that's
was.
The closest one. Yeah,
she bought a brand new Hyundai Sonata for $25,000 all in cash.
Yeah, I'm sure
on the table
did.
Just set it down, and she was like, oh, I make all of my living off of dancing, like that's what I do for a living, completely professional, and like she's like, yeah,
safe.
And it's great,
safe and clean.
Yeah
Yeah, there's no shame in doing any of that. That's not the point of today's conversation. It's just to open up and like kind of share our experiences, ask our questions. But if you're listening to this and upset or want to join in the conversation, we'd love to have you in the conversation.
Yeah, because, seriously. Anybody that knows anybody that does OnlyFans or anything like that, send them this episode. Send them our way. But also, if you disagree, we'd love to have you on too. I think it's a conversation that needs to be had because It is this weird interim time right now.
Yep. And a lot of my friends, and probably your friends too, come from like a Christian background too, where this sort of concept of like being so open about your sexuality and your sexual experiences and like filming that is such a foreign concept and used to be held in such like private spaces. And now it's like
my friends back home. Yes. Here.
No.
New York is literally, you'll be walking down the street and you'll just hear someone be like, so like the last time I had gonorrhea, like it's just like they especially in the theater community, especially during Shimmer, when the show's already all about queer identity and sexuality and overcoming religious trauma, everyone in that cast had all done that too. And so everyone in the cast would just be like, yeah, I was fucking my boyfriend the other day. Or you would turn the corner and someone would pull up their phone and they were like, oh, sorry. That was the porn I was watching earlier. And they were like quickly getting out of it, you know? And
that's,
it's just
so funny.
It was just such an, but that was one of the best experiences I've ever had because people were so just openly themselves. I had that's my first time ever being in a queer show. And so I could just straight up be like, yeah, I have an OnlyFans. And half of them were like, what's the link? Like, you know, like some people were just like, oh, I kind of want to see it. Like they didn't care. And it was such a judge-free space for that. And that's really like, I don't understand how I get how companies could see it as not a legitimate thing, could see it as a bad thing for their employees, whatever.
For their reputation.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the counter argument to me is like, well, if they're watching it, like they're obviously paying for it. They're finding it on their own. Mm-hmm. And that is different. Like if you are a school teacher, I understand that a little more. If you are a school teacher and you have an OnlyFans as a side business, where I fully support that, I do understand how that or would like affect your job.
Government or if you work elected official.
Right. Or if you work directly with children on a daily basis and different things like that. That is its own thing. However, if you have a paid subscription thing that your face is not on, your name is not attached to until you subscribe, that's a different scenario because they had to work really hard to find that. And so I don't know. I guess in my opinion, I understand both sides of it, but I don't see how it should be detrimental to your career. But that's just my opinion.
And we just come from different worlds.
Oh, absolutely. We do. I come from a world that is very accepting of it, where I was in a casting room and I would have said, oh, by the way, like I do have an OnlyFans. They'd be like, how many followers do you have? And I would tell them and they'd be like, okay, cool. And that would be the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas for you, it would be very different. And so it is hard to kind of come at it from that sense. So it would be really nice, even chatting with someone who has, you know who we should reach out to? And I don't know how to get their contact. But remember that nurse that was fired for doing OnlyFans and now she makes like millions of dollars? I would love to chat with her about
I don't remember that. I don't remember that. But, and that would be a really interesting conversation, though. I'd love that, too.
Yeah.
Do you mind if we cut our episode a little short today just because I have to totally get back to work? This was a really interesting conversation, and I hope that those that are listening enjoyed. And sorry that the episode's a little bit shorter than normal, but I've got to get back to work. I was on my lunch break.
No, that's totally okay. But yeah, please send us people. You know, we how we got Jonah on was from a listener. A listener listened, sent our episode or sent our, you know, Instagram page, whatever, to Jonah, asked if he would love to come on, and he said yes. And he's a friend of the pod. He's a lovely human being.
Yeah, he's so nice.
He also just finished a show. He was doing a show with his partner in Brooklyn, and I didn't get to see it. I was really mad because I wanted to go. But yeah, please send people our way if you have anybody that you know. If you have, even if you have a, you know, an adult, you know, a sex worker that is one of your favorites, let us know and we'll try to reach out to them too.
Yeah, so, we'll try to get a hold of them.
Send us a DM on Instagram, email us, whatever, I don't care. And yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye, Kale. Have a good day.
You too. Peace, love, and DocuSign, baby. Bye.